European Football Weekly. I'm Dan Riccio, Derek Brandeo, and Gord Brunt are alongside me. On the show, we will discuss a bid from Manchester United for Barcelona's Cesc Fabregas, a Spanish youth revolution at Real Madrid, Francesco Totti to move on from Roma? What? That could happen. And so much more, including an update on all the latest transfers going on in Europe. Follow the show on Twitter at EFWSN590. We're up to 417 followers now, an increase of 7.7% or 30 since last week's show. So we continue to show growth even during the offseason, the dead season, which has been anything but quiet, especially on the transfer market. But we'll get to that a little bit later in the show in the third segment, as we've been doing over the last couple of weeks. You can also email the show, dan.riccio@sportsnet590.ca. If you have a question for us, a comment, suggestion, just send us a tweet or an email and we'll do our best to fit that into the show. Gentlemen, Gord, Derek, got to ask you before we move any further, how were your weekends?
Just manly stuff.
Gord was checking up on barbecues. All the latest Arsenal transfer news.
That's not what I would consider manly stuff, but... No, just barbecues, hanging out with friends, enjoying the lovely Southern Ontario weather we've been having lately.
It's nice to hear the two of you enjoyed your weekend so much. Diapers, feedings. That's not true. She's old enough to feed herself now.
Oh, I thought you were talking Derek's about yourself.
No, oh, well, feeding myself is at least a three-time-a-day endeavor, at least.
He's a little older than us.
Derek's playing the daddy card.
I also have to, you know, bring a change of clothes and everything. But I don't know. I didn't have to, like,
gets watch. A little scary during Blue Jays games sometimes. I understand.
Well, you know, you get so involved in the team and everything, and you start spilling your cornflakes.
It's hashtag just, love this team. That's our station motto here for the Blue Jays. But, yeah.
Dan?
Dan, any concerts or crappy movies?
Okay. I know what Derek and Gord are bringing up. This happened last week, last Saturday, not this one that just passed, Saturday before that. I went to the Fun concert on Saturday, and it was horrible. It was like Woodstock for children almost, and hipsters.
For those of you like myself before the show, I did not know that this band existed until Dan, if you'd care to do it right now, gave me a little taste of their music. How did it go,
you know,
Dan?
That song, Tonight We Are Young?
Was it? Not when you just...
Okay, I sang it off air, yeah. But really, you're going to make me sing
no,
the damn song?
I don't want to hear this.
There it is.
The man has no shame.
Yeah. We are... Okay, that's it. Karaoke time is over.
It's literally one of those songs that you hear over and over again, hate, and never even care to find out the name of the band, and then Dan comes out with this beauty. Well done, Dan.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even admit it to anyone.
Honestly, I'm just grateful that he stopped singing somebody that I used to know.
What about the Limp Bizkit song that I usually sing when we're doing mic checks before the show?
He only sings the number ones, folks.
Yeah, that's everything it. That's all I know.
That your teenage daughters or sisters know. That is Dan's iPod.
So I followed up the Fun concert with watching White House Down. Yeah. With Jamie Foxx and Channing Tatum. It was not my choice. I swear on the Holy Bible, I'm a devout Catholic. Not entirely. That's a lie. But
blasphemer.
Yeah.
And you're lying about your Channing Tatum infatuation because, you know.
It was the lady's choice,
sure it was.
You know,
was it,
just
was
like
it,
the Fun concert was.
Was it also her choice to watch Magic Mike?
No, I didn't watch that with her. Sure I refuse to watch that one. Male stripper movies, that's where I draw the line.
But it's a coming-of-age story, Dan.
Yeah, I guess so.
I was going to say, of the two recent movies that have come out, basically the exact same, you picked the one that I would never go see. It's the
what, White House Down? Why?
It's Olympus Has Fallen, my friend. That's the one where it looks like it's a more of a manly movie.
Yeah. Well,
quite honest.
I mean, it wasn't completely ferocious. I mean,
ferocious.
There was a lot of things that blew up and stuff. Yeah.
It was so
horrible and atrocious at the same time.
It also looked like it might have a lot of dumb comedy in it as well.
They
tried to stretch out the comedy.
Oh, they definitely did. Their attempt at comedic relief was absolutely terrible.
So it was like a more amped up attempt at the 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, kind of.
But not funny.
Pretty much. No, because
without that amazing
Jamie
last scene
Fox
from 21.
Jamie Foxx isn't really that funny, yeah.
And it without was the amazing scene in 21 Jump Street at the end of the movie, because that I cannot stop laughing.
That was pretty hilarious. But yeah, and it was kind of like going to American history class in grade 10. There was a lot of like cheesy, oh, you should know this about American political history kind of thing as they're going through the...
should we?
As they're doing a tour through the White House, which I kind of rolled my eyes at a little bit. It was just, it was too cheesy. I understand what they were trying to do, but it was kind of... I mean, I don't want to upset our American listeners, but it was a little bit too much pump my chest out kind of feeling.
You were not invoked to, you know, start chanting USA in the middle of the movie.
Maybe.
A la Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah. Ho!
Song out.
All right. So, yeah, let's get back to the actual show before we officially evoke my man card. As I said before, you can tweet us any questions or email us any questions. dan.richo@sportsnet590.ca, at EFWSN590 on Twitter. So we get an interesting email this week all the way from Saudi Arabia. That's right. Majed Al-Madani writes in. I hope I didn't butcher your name, but that's just kind of how I'm reading it. I thought about it in my head.
It sounded good.
Okay.
It sounded good.
Got to say it with confidence. I shouldn't have, you know, said anything about me not being confident in my pronunciation. Anyways, greetings from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Thank you, Derek and Gord. I guess he forgot to mention Dan. I don't matter. Anyways.
Well, the email was to you, so.
Yes, it was. Well, that's the email I give
that's
out on the
default
show.
Email. That is default.
They won't give us our own email because, you know, we're not big time enough. So.
You know, I never noticed this when I read it, but yeah, Derek and Gord. That tells me a lot, Dan.
And not only that, it was purely alphabetical, people, because, you know, DA does come before DE.
It's true. It's
right.
True.
On with the letter.
Okay, so thank you, Derek and Gord, for your great work on the podcast.
You're
As
welcome.
I said, Dan was not left in there.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Majed. I'm thinking about reading this again. I started listening to you guys last season, and I appreciate your opinions, humor, and consistency in giving me, the listener, fantastic coverage of European football. Aw, that's nice of you. I want to make a small suggestion for the EFW podcast, though. I noticed that EPL is taking the majority of the podcast time, and I would love it if you guys could increase its duration or give time to talk more about Serie A and La Liga and Bundesliga. Your coverage for Champions League is already awesome. And as a listener, I would like to hear your thoughts on all major European football leagues. Thanks again for giving your listeners the opportunity to contact you. And I'm looking forward for your coverage of the new season. Regards, Majed Al-Madani. That is something that it's, I guess, a suggestion that a lot of people on Twitter and some of our other followers and emailers have suggested that they would like to hear a little bit more of the other leagues, as we are called European Football Weekly.
I would love to cover the other leagues as in depth as we do with the Barclays Premier League, but,
and here's the caveat.
The big but.
Unfortunately, here in Canada, we do not have access to Serie A and La Liga. And the only way you can get access to those is to actually get Rai, which would be only Italian.
Yes.
And I think you can get the games in Spanish, but of course.
Yeah.
Again, the same problem. It even costs even more to do it that way, too.
Exactly.
So beIN Sports has not decided to venture into Canada as of yet.
No, they have not sub-licensed their rights to anyone in Canada, despite the fact they don't have a television station in this country. So really, we've been shunned out from watching the other leagues. Now, being Italian, I watch the games on Rai. I really don't have another choice. I'm not going to watch it on my computer on some shady website. That's just not what I do. Sportsnet has Champions League, Europa League, and EPL coverage, so that's kind of what we focus on. But, and we've talked about it a lot off air in our discussions about the show. We want to talk more about the other leagues, but to be honest, we just don't see enough of it. What we see from those teams is mostly what we see in the Champions League, and that stuff we can talk about, and it's something we have talked about at length. As you noticed, during Champions League, we do two shows a week. So It's Majed, it's something that we are definitely hoping to do in the future more of. Plus, we only have an hour, so there's only so much we can get in.
And I'm not saying I illegally stream soccer games, but I try to get as many Spanish games in as I can.
Yeah.
And I don't like watching them all pixelated and stuff on a...
And then it lags.
I actually get pretty lucky because they'll actually tend to show some of the bigger SPL games. So I'm good. I got my two favorite leagues.
Teaser alert for later in the show, a Hits transfer update.
Just a question. Some of the bigger games, what? Like,
so whoever Celtic's playing, really. It's Celtic and you name it.
I was just going to say because, you know, the old firm is no longer.
No, they will have the Edinburgh Derby from time to time. So I did watch that with my dad live. Hibs and Hearts, you ignorant fool. Don't know what that is. This guy's like a soccer connoisseur over here.
And if you hadn't noticed, we're not going to discuss why we haven't watched enough Bundesliga.
Yeah. Well, look, there's always enough time. I mean, we always want to talk more about all the other leagues, and we will venture into it a little bit, but there's only so much we can comment on games that we didn't really watch.
There's a lot we can talk about.
And there's always so much soccer we can watch ourselves on a weekend basis anyway.
There is a lot to talk about when you look at it, but it's more the tactical, the in-game play that we can't really weigh in on because we can't watch it. So. Yeah.
So shoot us for not being able to watch everything. But
I don't want a virus on my computer, so that's why I'm not streaming.
Especially for our Canadian listeners. And this is a big thing that I implore everybody to do because I've done it several times. Go to beinsport.com and find out who to contact and send them emails nonstop on the fact that you wish that they would sublicense their product to Canada so that we can, again, watch La Liga and Serie A soccer. Because that's, in the end, what we all want. It's not that we prefer to watch the EPL games. It's just, it's an extension of our Sportsnet parents, yeah, I guess. And so that's...
It's us being good... corporate employees,
corporate men,
I guess.
You know,
but it'd be nice if they would expedite even purchasing a sports station that isn't actually doing so well that they can just decide to take, and then you know they've got the license for Canada, all of North America, so there wouldn't be a problem there in airing obviously that product.
So that's kind of where we sit on that. Again, Majed, we appreciate the email. We hope you can continue to listen to the podcast. We will do as much coverage of Serie A, La Liga, and Bundesliga that we can. So please stay tuned for that. That pretty much took up our whole first segment there, guys. So, although it's never a bad time to kind of crap
time does
on
fly when sport. You are ripping Dan Riccio about watching awful concerts and movies.
We do apologize for letting you all into Dan's life probably a little too much.
But now you know how we feel.
Yeah. So
he just keeps going on and
if
on
you
about
if you
it.
Want a quick critique on White House Down, please don't go watch it. Do yourself a favor, save yourself 2 hours. And if you're gonna go to a fun concert, rethink that as well. So especially if you want to keep your man card.
Management of fun, send your hate mail to Dan Riccio and producers of the Hollywood blockbuster.
There's no such thing
White
as bad
House
publicity.
Down.
Fun suing
to quote a
small time European soccer podcast. Okay, so in the next segment, Fulham ownership change. Totti set to leave Roma. Real Madrid changing in philosophy at Real Madrid with their transfers. We'll talk about all these things and more on European Football Weekly.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
And we are back on European Football Weekly. I'm Dan Riccio, Derek Brandeo, and Gord Brunt. Gord laughs at me every time I reintroduce a segment because he knows exactly how it is going to happen each and every time.
I just admire you so much, Dan. I'm impressed every time.
I don't like to change things up very much.
Every time Dan...
Consistency is good.
Every time Dan starts a segment, it reminds me of the Elf scene where Will Ferrell's going, and I'm singing.
See, my singing in the first segment was a lot nicer than that, I think. No? All right, we'll let our listeners.
I think you're going to have to go to a couple more fun concerts in order to.
We'll let our listeners decide. Tweet us at EFWSN590. Email the show, dan.richo@sportsnet590.ca. We got a lot of tweets coming in before the show. Asked you a bunch of questions, like, is Cavani worth 64 million euros as is his rumored transfer fee? So we're going to get to a lot of your tweets in the next segment. Stay tuned for that. Fulham ownership change. Shahid Khan buys Fulham from Mohamed Al-Fayed for $300 million. My first question, is this a good buy for Mr. Shahid Khan, who is also, and maybe our, you know, one of our followers at NFL Talkline will like this, he also owns Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think it's a good buying.
For $300 million?
Look at the TV deal they just signed. Even in the States, but like they're getting $3 billion over in England. So it's a great time to invest in the EPL. And as our friend Bobby McMahon put, they are recession-proof. So yeah. a lot of investors are looking overseas right now at the European football.
I'm just impressed at the way he goes after the elite clubs of these leagues.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Sorry, Fulham fans, if you dislike that comment, too bad.
Fulham is not
just like
club.
And that also goes for fun fans, if you dislike what we've been saying about them as well, that's just too bad.
I will say this about the fun concert: one of their opening acts, Family of the Year, was actually pretty good. I enjoyed
that. You tweet out a video. That was my first introduction to your fun concert.
Are you sure they just weren't pretty good in comparison to, or
okay, yeah, maybe they were just better than fun, but yeah. Kind of like a folk music band.
Although,
I don't know.
You
they
did
were,
see them
they were fun to watch.
First, so you weren't spoiled by the fun.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. Speaking about fun is just, it's hard because the word fun is just, gets in the way so
fun?
Often.
Not soccer talking. Transfers. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll talk about that next segment. Anyways, back to Shahid Khan buying Fulham. He becomes the 12th, well, I guess Fulham wasn't even owned by an English owner beforehand, so... Eight of the 20 EPL owners are not actually English, or are actually.
So he
English.
Maintains the average.
Yes, he maintains the average, being an American.
Mm-hmm. Ups the American quotient, though.
It does up the American quotient. There's now
three, I think. No, four. Yeah. Glazers.
The Glazers.
I believe Arsenal is mostly owned by an American as well, and Liverpool, and now Fulham.
So. That is four EPL owners that are American now. And, I mean, EPL revenues, they're 50% higher than any of the other major European leagues. So yeah. That's kind of a big deal, right?
For sure. And not to mention, this guy's buying a football club in London.
Yeah.
I mean, could you pick a better
location?
Real estate spot. That is one of the prime real estate spots for football in all of the world, really.
So what you saying? High rises on the Thames?
I don't know if there's even any room on the Thames anymore. Like, they got a tight spot and they're expanding the Craven Cottage. So probably
gonna get it up
rises.
To 30,000 capacity. And I mean, for Fulham,
that's kind of a necessary step. They've been a pretty consistent club.
Yeah, they are. I think. Of seven teams, only seven teams have stayed in the EPL longer than they have. Mm-hmm. It's been a 13-year streak, I think, yeah. For Fulham in the top division in England. So, I mean, look, Shahid Khan, he's just looking to improve what they're already doing. They've had a pretty interesting transfer summer thus far, and apparently Martin Yole has already asked for an extra £20 million on top of that. So they got a pretty decent goalie. They take out Mark Schwarzer, bring in Martin Stecklenburg from Roma. So, I mean, big things for Fulham, yeah. You would think.
And over the last 5 years or so, like they've always been that consistent middle of the table squad. And now it's time to make that next step into possibly a top six, top five position. That's what the fans would be expecting, especially with new ownership coming in.
Consistent European qualification, yeah. Even if it is
that
Europa
is the next
League.
Step
for yeah. That's what Fulham aims for.
And I think even the most important next step is to get the other four Jackson brothers beside Michael Jackson to complete the Jackson 5.
Oh, he brought up the... Thank you, Derek, because I meant to bring this up. And one of the weirdest things from Mohamed Al-Fayed's ownership tenure at Fulham is the Herocious, let's make that the word of the show. The Herocious.
I still question if that's a word.
It's not an actual word.
No, I was going to say.
It's made mashup.
Yeah, it's a mashup.
Hey, whatever. If you go see a fun concert, I guess you can make up a word for it.
I'm hipster now, you know? I'm going to start liking the Bundesliga and everything. Just all out hipster. So he has a massive Michael Jackson statue.
The man is a lyrical genius. What is your problem here? No, I'm not defending this.
I know it sounds strange, but knowing Michael, well, not personally knowing Michael Jackson, but
I'm going to tweet out
knowing of Michael Jackson's of life and his
exploits.
Yeah, we'll use that word. Is finding a statue of him at a soccer stadium really the weirdest thing we've ever heard?
I guess. No.
Is it weirder than the Newcastle fan punching a horse in the face?
No.
Weirder? I don't know if that's the right context because that was hilarious.
Yeah, that was kind of funny, actually.
Hilariously sad on the individual's part and pathetic and, you know, unfortunate for the horse, of course.
As we speak, I am...
Although I even doubt that the horse felt it because it's a horse. But anyway.
As we speak, I'm tweeting out a picture of this absolutely horrendous Michael Jackson statue that is outside Craven Cottage. And just looking at a picture of it right now, it is just horrible. So right at 5 p.m. Eastern time, here in Toronto, we tweeted out a picture of the Michael Jackson statue outside of Craven Cottage. It is European Football Weekly. I'm Dan Riccio, Derek Brandeo, Gord Brunt around the table at EFWSN590 is where you can find us on Twitter. And a bit of interesting news out of Rome this week, aside from the fact that they may be dipping into the Gervinho transfer. From Arsenal. Teaser for next segment. Got a lot of transfer news to talk about. So speaking at Roma's new kit presentation, Francesco Totti, the king of Rome, says, "I have worn many Roma shirts, but this will be my last one." Holy cryptic. Majorly cryptic.
Someone's been watching too many Harry Potter movies. Yeah. Jeez, come on.
I'm assuming there wasn't a follow-up question.
I guess not.
Is that today?
That's the only quote you see out of the Associated Press story.
Very vague. Yeah. If I was a Roma fan, I'd be left wondering. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, and for Roma fans, they haven't known anything other than Francesco being their captain, at least for the last 15 years. I think he was made captain in 1998. For the first time, and he was still a young pup back then. So I don't know. I've opined many a time on Twitter that it is time for Francesco Totti to leave Roma. He has become bigger than the club, bigger than the crest.
Yeah.
They just cannot progress as long as he is there.
I know absolutely nothing about their youth squad and all the up-and-coming players, but I'd have to imagine he probably blocked a couple players from actually flourishing at Roma, and they eventually had to sell off. Would that be accurate, Mr. Syria?
Well, it's been interesting because it seems like no young player can overtake him, obviously. Mm-hmm. It seems like every young attacking player is intimidated by him, obviously. And any manager that comes into the team can't seem to get a message across unless Francesco Totti is also promoting that same message. If they're on different pages, you might as well kiss your ass goodbye, right? Mm-hmm.
Player power to the extreme is what you see there. And whenever that happens, it's probably best that the player, you know, gets a lesson in humility because that's when things like that happen, it just never ends up being a good thing. Seasons get wasted and you just end up losing players, as Gord suggested, and you end up going through coaches and more coaches and instability. And even though, you know, Serie A is known for changing coaches quite often.
Really? I didn't know that.
Was it Parma? No.
Palermo.
Palermo. There we go. What ended up hiring the same guy that they fired at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
That's amazing. But it's just, especially for a team like Roma, you need to be able to build on something. And, you know, you've had Francesco Totti to build on for the last 15 years at least. So it's time to move on. You know, other successful clubs do it. You know, Dan, Del Piero is a great example for you.
Exactly. Del Piero is a very good example. But the difference with Del Piero and Totti is that Del Piero was eventually willing to lessen his role for the good of the team, something that Francesco is not so keen on doing as just ask Luis Enrique that.
Well, that's also because of the culture of the team, right? You know, Juventus is used to winning, and that's kind of
true.
That's held more importantly than, you know, individualism. And, you know, from the few things I've read and, you know, from the few reality shows I've seen with Francesco Totti on them, doesn't seem like it's much about anybody else.
No, it's usually all about Francesco. So yeah, send us a tweet, an email, and let us know your thoughts on Francesco Totti, especially if you are a Roma fan. I want to know if you would like to see Francesco Totti go, or if you think him staying is best for the team. So Real Madrid, quickly, we're probably going to have to extend this discussion into the next segment, but Real Madrid, interesting transfer summer they've had. They buy Isco for a big fee from Malaga, and now this week they buy Asier Ilaramendi from Real Sociedad, so for upwards of £30 million. So big time money being spent by Real Madrid on Spanish players, and maybe not so much Isco, but for Ilaramendi, he's not exactly a extremely proven player like we're used to seeing Real Madrid buy. The guys that are already established are already world superstars. I wouldn't call Ilaramendi that, nor Isco is known about, but he's not exactly a world superstar quite yet.
Yeah, this isn't the summer of the Galactico signings. This has been a little bit of a divergence of, I guess, philosophy maybe by Florentino.
Ancelotti?
No, Florentino. Florentino is the one who usually makes the purchases. It's not really... I don't think Ancelotti's got much say in these two purchases.
Yeah.
The next one, maybe.
It strikes me, though, as this is what I would expect a foreign club coming into Spain to pay for a young Spaniard like this. Not your Real Madrid's, but like, let's say we had Southampton going after, not a good example, but they were going after Osvaldo.
Yeah.
And of Roma, offering $20 million or 20 million quid for that guy. So it just strikes me as not really the Real Madrid thing to do, going spending that amount of money on an unproven commodity.
Yeah, well, the tax situation is what ends up upping the cost. And not only that, you have to, there's like an oligarch system in Spain with the, at least towards the, at least in talking about the money that's, you know, given to the Spanish Federation and, this, you know, just to the clubs themselves through TV deals. It's pretty much Barca and Real that get, you know, get the lion's share of everything.
Right.
So maybe it's about time that these other teams started to, you know, hold them a little more to ransom.
Yeah, and I think that's part of Florentino's reasoning here is he can't really get loans to spend money outside the country, I think, maybe.
Yeah, and that might be something, too, that you know, maybe it's a conscious thing on his part that he's, you know...
Because we know how deeply entrenched Real Madrid is into politics in Spain, so
it goes hand in hand with the game. Because other cultures might not have that involved, but because of the deep separatist movement that was in Catalonia with Barcelona and Franco, lending the name to Real, and a long history of things that I just probably shouldn't get into right here. But
yeah.
It was part of the way that the rivalry was created.
Yeah, and we'll maybe have to continue this discussion a little bit into the next segment. We'll also talk about the gap between EPL clubs and the top EPL clubs and bottom EPL clubs kind of closing a little bit. At least it seems that way. We'll talk about that and more on European Football Weekly.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca.
We are back. European Football Weekly. You see how I did that? I did the exact same thing that I did in the second segment there.
Really? I thought you were just starting like the first line of one of those fun songs. We are... Yeah. One or something? I don't know.
No, that was totally off key by me. We are young.
That wasn't the cue to start singing.
Well, I'll take any chance that I get. So back to Real Madrid and their change in philosophy. A lot of money being spent there on Asier Ilaramendi and Isco. I almost forgot his name. It's so short, it kind of just passes you by. But another Spanish midfielder on the move, and now the third of the under 21 Euro midfielders on the move. Thiago Alcantara moves from Barcelona to Bayern Munich on a 25 million euro transfer. What is with these young Spaniards? Like, everybody's just trying to pick them up right away. Alcantara wanted to play more. That's why he left Barcelona. But he goes to Bayern Munich. How much is he actually going to play at Bayern Munich? I know he's played under Pep before, wants to play under Pep again. That was part of the deal. But still, I don't see him finding an enormous amount of time more than he would have had at Barcelona at Bayern Munich.
I completely disagree.
Really?
I think he's going to probably be given a chance to prove himself. And once he does, he'll be given a permanent spot in that midfield because he's Pep's boy. And if you think that doesn't mean anything.
Boy, Pep.
And if you don't think that means anything, just ask Samuel Eto'o about stuff like that.
Yeah.
Ask Ibrahimovic about stuff like that. Arguably better players.
Yeah.
And more accomplished.
Not to mention, do you think Thiago's agent, Pep Guardiola's brother, is going to tell him, hey, sign with this team.
His brother's might name not is give Pear?
Or, sorry. It's P-E-R-E, I'm pretty sure. Sorry. So I might be mispronouncing it, but I would guess that that's what it is.
I just doubt that his agent, whose brother just happens to be the manager, would tell his client, hey, come to this team. You might not get first team starting time, but you know that you will eventually. I don't think that would
not
happen.
Only that,
not with all the suitors that were out there for him.
Not only that, when Pep's, you know, implementing his new system into, you know, Bayern Munich, which none of these players have ever played under except for some kid named Thiago Alcantara, who do you think is going to be the example of? Yeah. So for me, he's playing.
But at the same time, Pep is trying some weird formations already in preseason. He went with a 4-1-4-1 yesterday, which is kind of strange.
And to me, the formations just are a starting point for where all of the players end up, which is all around the box anyway.
Yeah, that is.
So it's not really.
That's true.
Starting formations under Pep Guardiola don't really mean much to me.
Understood. Manchester United, though, were apparently runner-up to Thiago Alcantara and have now changed their attentions to former Arsenal midfielder and current Barcelona midfielder, Cesc Fabregas. A £25 million bid has been reported from Manchester United to Barcelona. I think he's a good fit there. Gord probably doesn't think he's a good fit there. But
another traitor.
Yeah.
Go ahead, continue.
This one can't hurt as much, though.
No,
I mean,
definitely not.
Because he's already been gone. And it'll be a separate, it's not a direct route.
This is your run-of-the-mill rumor right here during the transfer season. I'm not believing this one at all. There's so many of these out there that I put it in that group.
It's not that
I know
it's
he
not,
would fit there. He yeah. would fit there. It would be a nice little matchup, but
I don't see him leaving Barcelona.
Yeah.
And he's got to see the writing on the wall. Xavi has, you know, maybe Xavi comes back this year and plays better than he has the last year or so. But he's definitely, you know, regressed for me at least. And Cesc has been fitting in, you know, more and more. And the team does have to change the way it plays once Cesc is in there. But Tito was pretty successful with that at the beginning of the year. So we'll see what he can do. And he was there for the beginning part. And, you know, then he had the unfortunate reoccurrence with cancer again. So that kind of took him away from Barcelona. So a full year again, maybe really does integrate Cesc Fabregas into the squad. So I don't see him leaving.
No, I don't see him leaving either. I think the bid is real from Manchester United. I just don't think it's enough to tempt Barcelona into selling him away.
It's only,
25 million pounds.
I think Arsenal got like 29, something like that. So
sunny Barcelona.
Yeah.
Rainy Manchester. Hometown.
Rainy
former
Manchester. I think he's going to stay with Barcelona. That seems pretty obvious. Phil.
Giving the finger to Arsenal fans or not.
He's classier than that.
Yeah, that's true. Phil George writes in regards to our Michael Jackson statue outside Craven Cottage. Fans hate it. It's, well, it's?
It's.
Doesn't have well words put. To describe it. So
well put.
Well put, Phil. At Phil underscore Gonzo. Thanks for the tweet.
Oh my, I'm just looking at it for the first time right now. I thought it was going to be like a bronze statue. No, it's painted and everything.
It's got really little creepy. Hair strands down
his, that is creepy. My God.
It is really creepy. But
why is his belt on?
Shahid Khan, if he wanted to buy Fulham, had to agree to keep that statue on the Craven Cottage grounds.
It almost so, it's
that
a wax
been a deal breaker for me. Never mind.
Yeah, no.
Can
no
I
thanks.
Pay you $20 million more to take it?
Go put it in your house or something, Mohammed.
Yeah,
please
take it home.
I don't want this thing.
It looks like
our
it belongs
fans
in a wax museum. It really does.
Oh, it's creepy. But yeah, let's move on here on European Football Weekly. Phil, thanks for the tweet. At EFWSN590 is where you can tweet us and find the Michael Jackson statue. Edinson Cavani is in Paris for his medical to complete a 64 million euro move to Paris Saint-Germain, and we can finally stop talking about when, if, where with Edinson Cavani. By tomorrow, it should be official, barring a failed medical, which would be disastrous for Napoli.
And I'm sure would be probably swept under the rug anyway.
Yeah, probably. But yes, 64 million euros would make Cavani fourth or fifth.
I mean, unless he came in looking like Keith Kachuk or something after, you know, a lockout. But
well,
I doubt he's a Pillsbury doughboy after, you know, seeing him in the Confederations Cup.
Yeah. But 64 million euros would make Cavani the, I don't know. I've seen.
Is that the second? No.
No, it's according to Forbes, it would be fourth on the list.
So behind Zidane.
Yeah. No, ahead of Zidane. Because Forbes takes into account inflation and all that kind of stuff since the time of the Zidane transfer.
Oh, really? So who's what? Ronaldo is ahead of him?
Ronaldo is first.
Of course.
Ibrahimovic from Inter to Barcelona is second. Third is Kaká from Milan to Barcelona. No, not Real Madrid.
Real Madrid,
sorry.
Yes.
And then fourth would be Edinson Cavani.
I see. I thought that the...
Just yeah, barely okay. ahead of Zidane. Like we're talking.
I actually forgot about the... I forgot because of the amassed amount of, I guess, sum of wealth that was in the Ibrahimovic transfer with Eto'o as well going the other way.
Yeah, and I asked on Twitter, or we asked on Twitter, at EFWSN590, is Cavani worth 64 million euros? And we got a couple of tweets. Eric Waddell writes in, for that money, you could probably get three good strikers instead of pinning all your hopes on Cavani. Would you guys agree with that? Or would you rather just have the guy that's probably a top five striker in the world?
That's a lot of money for
one guy.
I don't. To me, he hasn't reached the level of, you know, game changer that really, you know,
yeah,
kind of warrants that kind of cash. So if even just from seeing Neymar in the Confederations Cup and seeing Cavani play, you'd fear Neymar coming down that left side way more than you would Cavani, or even on the right side. Either way.
Just. Yeah. I mean, Uruguay kind of had Cavani playing out of position, so that didn't help much either. But because, you know, Forlan had to play central while Suarez and Cavani played out on the wings in a 4-3-3, which didn't help Cavani, but he finally figured it out towards the end of the tournament, scoring twice against Italy. And so, yeah. But
for an out-and-out striker, though, just if you're going to play him in that right position, I just don't, you know, unless he scores, you know, 50 goals, the boatload of goals that you need to warrant that money, for the rest of the team, I don't know if it really warrants that, because, you know, if you get a guy who can score goals coming in from midfield, to me, that's sometimes that's a little more valuable because they can control the game. And that's a lot of money, man. 64 million.
Yeah. Gord?
Especially when you already had such a prolific goal scorer in Ibrahimovic. It was like you didn't really need to dish out that much to get a great goal scorer because you already had one. I know Ibrahimovic is getting up there in age. Fanny's still relatively young, but it's way too much money.
last year was one of his best seasons, and he actually started to play with, you know, the rest of the team for once. It wasn't all about Ibra.
Yeah, he got 30 league goals. I mean,
and he was deemed, you know, to have made the most important passes, I think, in the entire competition of Champions League up until the point where he got eliminated. So he was a real, you know, effective player for them, which is...
This feels more of like a thumping your chest type move, showing all of Europe that we are serious. We're going to go for the greatest talent available out there, and we'll pay whatever we want.
But it's also the backhanded slap to your best player.
Yeah, and I don't think Ibrahimovic stays. It is very likely, in my humble opinion, and Derek agrees with me here, I'm not sure on Gord, but it feels like Ibrahimovic is going to follow Carlo Ancelotti over to Real Madrid and be their new striker ahead of Karim Benzema.
A lot of dominoes to fall before a decision like that can be made.
They're still Higuain going for Suarez. Still needs to be sold, and Suarez is also in the running for maybe a possible transfer to Real Madrid
as well.
And those
two, have higher priority than an Ibrahimovic signing right now.
That is true. Mike Greenspoon writes in, Cavani is not a striker. He's an animal.
Totally agree.
That may be so, but Falcao's a beast.
Yeah.
Well said.
See, I would pay the $64 million for Falcao.
Yeah? You would? Over Cavani?
Oh, yeah.
I think I would, yeah.
I think I would take Cavani.
No,
I would take Cavani. If I had to pay $64 million, I would take Cavani over Falcao.
Well, they'll be competing for the
in my humble
goal
opinion.
Score in league this year.
Yeah,
so.
That is for sure. That'll be interesting. Finally, we
Someone's
get to see them in the same
Serie A
league.
Someone's got their Serie A goggles on, I think.
Yeah, well, guy who can consistently score 30 goals in Serie A is pretty damn good in my books.
Did you not see how many goals he scored in La Liga?
Well, House Liga is totally different.
Yeah, just because two guys run amok of the league doesn't mean that everybody else scores the amount of goals that those three guys did that year. Last year, so
yeah, that's true. We got to move on quickly here. Couple of things we want to get to quickly. Arsenal improved bid for Luis Suarez to £35 million, up from the 30 that got refused. Who knows if this is true? It sounds a lot like it's true. It's being reported by all the major news agencies, so it must be true. But why would Arsenal be offering £35 million for a guy who says he doesn't want to stay in England anymore?
So that they could end up selling him to Manchester United 2 years later for 50?
Yeah, he's a businessman taking advantage. No, he's a prolific striker. Why wouldn't you want a player who can score goals on a regular basis the way he does and just controls a game? Why wouldn't you want him on your team? But does have his negatives. Like we talked about all season, was he was a little selfish at times. Other players seem to be a little intimidated of him.
He bites people.
That as well, yeah. I wasn't going to mention that.
When he's an Arsenal player.
Why you got to bring up his worst qualities,
two
huh?
bites.
We should play back audio from the Bitegate episode that we did a few months back.
Yeah.
See what Gord said about it back then.
Bringing him in, it just doesn't make sense. These rumors right now, just he mentioned how he wants to get the hell out of England. He hates the English media. So just the fact that Arsenal's in the Champions League and they're showing interest, and I'm not buying it.
Weakening Liverpool would be a good thing on
Arsenal. They're already
Arsenal's.
Weak. They're Liverpool. True. The last 3 years have been crap.
True.
Arsenal, more news from Arsenal, and this is time to pile on Nicholas Bentner because he's a jerk and everybody hates him. He will not decrease his wages to leave Arsenal for Eintracht Frankfurt.
That is so surprising from a guy who scored 11 out of 10 on a confidence or an ego.
Just go away.
I'm so happy
on
it was only
a
loan
that, you know,
deal.
Measures
to
your confidence. Seriously, that is not surprising at all.
Not surprising at all. Nor is it surprising. Steve Bruce of Hull City likes Nicholas Bentner and wanted to purchase him, but has now said he's too expensive for us. So,
Steve, you got to pay for quality.
Yeah.
Speaking,
just the biggest egomaniac.
For a quality jackass is what you're paying for.
I'm number one in Denmark.
Speaking of horrible transfers, Maicon to Roma for free from Manchester City. But not only did Roma get him for free, Manchester City also had to pay Maicon €2 million for him to leave. Just please leave. Here's €2 million. Just get out of my face. I don't want you here. My, how the mighty have fallen.
Parting gifts on the way out. Thank you.
And it just speaks to the terrible transfers out of Inter Milan. Wesley Sneijder, anybody? Yeah. Actually, Michael Sagrafena writes in on that topic. All this from a club, Inter, that can't buy top players because of financial reasons. I love my team, but the last 2 years have been horrendous. Sorry, Michael. I kind of feel for you being a Juventus fan. You know, I know what winning's all about. I'm such a jerk.
Yeah.
quickly, before we wrap this up, this has been a really long segment, but I teased that we would talk about it. A lot of the smaller teams, Southampton, Norwich, Sunderland, seem to be spending pretty big money on the transfer market. These are all bottom half teams in the EPL from last season. Southampton spent £21 million on two players. Norwich has bought like six or seven. Sunderland, they've been a little bit smarter with their money and getting free transfers and whatnot, but they're spending a lot of money too. They've brought in seven or eight players, including Emmanuel Jaccarini today, who went through his medical. £8 million move from Juventus, or €8 million move from Juventus, is what is being reported. My question to you guys is the gap closing between the top level EPL teams and the bottom half teams in the EPL? Is all this TV money creating more parity between the league?
I wouldn't say parity, but it's definitely closing the gap for sure. I don't think the top teams are coming down. I think it's a matter of the lower teams closing the gap on the way up to the top teams. You're always going to have your Manchester United, Chelsea, Man City. Everybody's still going to spend these ridiculous contracts on players, but I think the lower teams are definitely on the rise right now and offering out some big cash. So
yeah, it seems like they definitely have the ability to take more shots in the dark.
Type of
signings. You know, gambling a lot on younger players that, you know, are still to develop. Hoping that they can eventually maybe cash in on them, or, you know, have those players take them somewhere where they've never been before.
Yeah. And
or for a while, I should say, because some of these teams do have histories.
I mean, for Southampton, their spending isn't done. They want to bring in a big name striker as well, maybe another defender. Norwich has done a lot of work. They stole Leroy Fair from Everton. That came out of nowhere, but that guy sounded like he was going to Everton. All of a sudden, he's at Norwich. And Sunderland, I don't know, it must be the Paulo Dicanio allure that is bringing so many players over to the Stadium of Light. I think it's great for the EPL. It's kind of, I think the five teams at the top are still the five teams at the top, and there's just kind of be a cluster expletive deleted in the middle of that.
Yeah, this seems like there's, you know, a top five, and then maybe another top five, or what? And
yeah,
then, like, you know, a middle five, and then, you know, then the last 10 seem to always, you know, fight it out, because it just seems that relegation the last few years has been pretty close.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the bottom teams in the EPL this year were really bad.
Last year with the last two teams,
QPR and Reading were just absolutely ferocious. Got to say it one more time. But that is the
hashtag fun concert.
Yeah, thank you guys. I no longer have a man card. That is the end of the show.
I have noticed a little bit of less hair on his chest recently.
Any parting shots, guys?
I have a Hibernian transfer update.
Oh, yeah,
for
we teased
you.
It. Hibs transfer update.
So, Hibs have brought in, they brought back Kevin Thompson, defensive midfielder, brought up through the youth ranks in Hibs, went off to Rangers where they didn't play him at all, just benched him as a
tactic. And then they went into administration.
Yeah, as a tactic to weaken Hibs. He came back in March, played for free till the end of the season, but he signed a 2-year deal with the team. And they also signed a striker by the name of Rowan Vine, I believe.
Vine?
Yes.
Did he create that app on your phone?
Probably.
Quick little videos?
Probably, Dan.
That's him?
Sense.
That's the guy,
and he's decided to play in the SPL.
A man of many talents.
Yeah, big signings in the SPL for the Capital City team. So
Hibs, we'll free ginger beer while you're a Hibs player. So
Rabbi's ginger beer, the greatest in Edinburgh.
Derek, any parting shots from you, my friend?
I think I'll save everybody and, you know, just end it on that.
Okay. Nothing like a Hibs transfer update to end the show.
Wait, what a... Great
should be a feature for the rest of the summer here on European Football Weekly. I'm Dan Riccio. We're hoping to hear from you some more. A lot of talk between you guys and us, and we really appreciate it each and every time. Dan.Riccio@sportsnet590.ca via email, or follow us on Twitter @EFWSN590. For Derek Brandeo and Gord Brunt, I'm Dan Riccio. We'll talk to you next week.